Perhaps lost in the din of the last election, Congress enacted several revisions to the decades-old Freedom of Information Act. The law passed at the end of June, and it took effect immediately. I spoke with Melanie Pastay, director of the Information Policy Office at the Justice Department, on what it means for agency FOIA officers and anyone working with federal records.
And there are both procedural and substantive changes made to the FOIA as a result of the amendments. Just to give you some of the highlights, there's what we called colloquially the rule of three. That's now been codified. And what that means is that the FOIA statute now requires agencies to make available proactively on their website any record that has been requested under the FOIA three or more times. That's where we get the rule of three sort of code name for it.
That's a big deal. That seems to really lower the bar for people wanting material. You can always find two friends to weigh in with you, right?
No, that's right. We think it's a really good standard for making something available online. And actually, what's great about it is that this was our longstanding Department of Justice guidance to agencies, that they use receipt of three requests or anticipated receipt of three requests for the same record as a trigger for making information available proactively on their website. And now Congress codified that into the law. So we do think it's a really good provision. As you know, FOIA is so, the demand from the public for records under the FOIA just has continued to grow year after year after year. There's just an incredible interest in the part of the public in what the government is doing and the operations and activities of the government. And one of the ways that agencies can meet that high demand is to try to identify records in advance of them being requested, so that we have been encouraging agencies for quite some time now from the Department of Justice to really work and have as an ongoing process the identification of records that would be of interest to the public so that they could be posted on agency websites and sort of meet public demand before there's even a need to make a FOIA request. So
let me ask you this.
Yeah, sure.
If the rule of three would increase the workload on FOIA staffs, it sounds like this pre-posting of what might be popular could maybe offset that increase in workload from the rule of three.
Right. The struggle with posting, it's interesting to me. I have long been encouraging agencies to post records that are of interest to the public. And in the hope that we would see the number of requests received by agencies decrease. But year after year, even though agencies keep posting more and more records, they're still getting more and more requests for records. So I actually have stopped saying to agencies, "Hey, put things on your webpage, and you'll reap the benefits of fewer FOIA requests," because that just statistically hasn't happened. I think in some ways, as agencies post material, then that it feeds further interest by the public. They want material related to what's been posted. And it's part of a cycle where the public and agencies are really interacting with one another about the activities of the agency. I think it's all a good thing. It's all what FOIA is designed to do. It's to help inform the public about what's happening. And certainly in this modern day and age, where so many people rely on the internet as a way to get access to information, the more we can make information available proactively, I think just the better.
Any other major changes people need to be aware of in the revision from last year?
Yeah, two other substantive provisions that I think are really significant are the Department of Justice's foreseeable harm standard has now been codified into the statute. And that is a requirement that agencies withhold information under the FOIA only if they reasonably foresee that disclosure would harm an interest protected by an exemption. This foreseeable harm standard is something that agencies were applying as a matter of guidance emanating from DOJ, and now that also has been codified into the statute. And then finally, the other significant substantive change to the FOIA was a change actually to the scope of one of the exemptions from disclosure. There's now a sunset on the deliberative process privilege. So when a record is 25 years or older, agencies no longer can assert the deliberative process privilege for that record. And so that provision is a way to make historical documents, even if they're draft documents or recommendations that would otherwise be subject to protection under the deliberative process privilege, those documents are now will now be made available to the public once they reach 25 years old.
25 years sounds like a long time when you say it, but really that's just back to what, the Bill Clinton administration?
Yeah, it's amazing. As we all get older and older ourselves, we realize that 25 years is not that long a time. Exactly.
Now, how do agencies in a practical sense figure out what's 25 years old?
So obviously, the easiest thing is looking at the date of the document or the date of the email if you have an email from that long ago. But we've issued guidance to agencies that for documents that are not dated, that then what they do is do an estimate of the age of the document based on surrounding material. There's usually some indication connected with the document, the subject that's being discussed, the people that are discussing it, the titles of the officials that are referenced in the document. All of those things would give clues as to the age of the document.
So a memo to H.R. Haldeman, you could probably guess what era that's from.
Exactly.
All right, and what about requirements for fees and things? What's going on there?
Right. Well, there were already limitations on an agency's ability to assess fees under the FOIA if the FOIA's time limits were not met, unless certain exceptions applied. But then those exceptions have now been narrowed, and they also contained specific steps that agencies have to follow in order for the exceptions to apply. So the basic rule is that the failure of an agency or the inability of an agency to comply with FOIA's time limits means that certain fees, typically search fees, cannot be assessed to requesters. What we have done, because there are three exceptions to this rule and there are different kinds of requesters and different kinds of fees, we created guidance to help agencies apply these new provisions, and we created a new document that we're calling a decision tree, and that actually guides agencies step by step through the process of determining whether they can assess fees or whether one of the exceptions to the rule is met.
So that should streamline some of the decision making within the FOIA offices.
Exactly. Part of what we do at OIP, well, of course, our statutory mandate is to encourage compliance with the FOIA. So we're always looking for ways to help agencies be able to implement the law more easily. And certainly when there are changes to the law, like occurred last June with amendments to the FOIA itself, we make sure that we provide a lot of resources to agencies so that they understand the new provisions and can easily apply them. So we've issued a summary of all the changes that were made by the FOIA amendments. We've issued individualized guidance on the major substantive provisions. We've done training for agencies. We have a dedicated point of contact to answer questions. So we really have tried to do like an all-court press to make sure that agencies are prepared and have the resources that they, and the help they need from us to implement the new provisions.
And just as a point of reference, what have you seen in terms of the size of the average agency's FOIA staffing? Are they growing the staffs? Are they shrinking? Are people hanging on to what they have?
Well, we have the latest statistics that we have for requests and staffing are from fiscal year 2015. We're right now in the process of gathering fiscal year 16 staff. But what I can tell you is that for fiscal year 15, there was an increase in the number overall of FOIA staff across the government. A small increase, but still like a 7% increase, which is always encouraging to see that agencies were able to help grow their FOIA staff to meet the increased demand that agencies are facing.
And you mentioned that demand is increasing. Do you have some numbers on FOIA requests 2015, 16, and how
right,
they compare to maybe 10 years earlier?
Sure. Well, as I mentioned, we're concurrently literally just now compiling the statistics for fiscal year 2016. So we should have those statistics in about another month or so by Sunshine Week. But looking from fiscal year 15 and certainly going back 8-9 years, we have seen a steady increase in the number of FOIA requests that have been received by agencies. And in fact, the last 2 years were record high numbers of FOIA requests. In fiscal year 15, the government received over 700,000 FOIA requests in just 1 year. So I think it's really an astounding number. And then what's even more impressive, though, was that in fiscal year 15, there was a 19% increase in the number of requests that were processed by agencies. So agencies were able to meet the demand that was coming in and really were able to process, you know, an incredibly high amount of material and make that material available to the requesters. And that's just going to be, I think, the continued challenge that all agencies are going to have. We just have to assume that we're going to continue to have great demand by the public for information, and so agencies are going to continue to have to look for ways to innovate, to use technology, to be proactive in their management of FOIA so that they can continue to meet that demand.
You track which agencies get how many FOIA requests. What is the agency that gets the most?
So the agencies that get the agency with the very most number of FOIA requests is Department of Homeland Security, and they traditionally year after year get the most FOIA requests of anyone. Department of Justice, Department of Defense, and Health and Human Services, as well as VA, we typically round out the rest of the top five in terms of numbers of FOIA requests received. But there are a wide range of, there's over 100 agencies subject to the FOIA and a wide range of numbers of requests received. Some agencies get less than 50 requests, but there are about 10 agencies that make up 90% of the FOIA requests received by the entire government.
Is there any way of tracking subjects and what people are interested in, or maybe there's too much variation among agencies to do that?
Yeah, there's an incredible variation, obviously, in the types of things that are requested. But many agencies post FOIA logs that allow interested members of the public to see the types of records that are requested. And then certainly with the requirement to post frequently requested records in agency FOIA libraries, that anyone could see the commonly requested records of each agency. And as you can imagine, the records are just completely different depending on the work and the mission of the agency.
So you can see what's trending on an agency almost like on Twitter or something, but only per agency.
Yes, exactly. Now, we try to highlight on FOIA.gov, which is the department's government-wide FOIA website, we will highlight interesting or significant releases that are being made by agencies. And that gives you a place to look for some cross-cutting topics that are of interest. And one of the things that we are looking to work on in the future is to try to increase the capacity of agency websites to search for records that are already posted so that it is easier to learn what's been posted by agencies across the government, obviously just for the interest of people in general, but also more importantly, to the extent we can facilitate locating already posted records, that it also can help decrease demand under FOIA. We'd much rather a member of the public be able to go to a website and look and see what's already been posted by agencies and have their information needs satisfied that way and not ever even have to make a FOIA request to the agency. So increasing the tools that and developing the tools that agencies use to search for already posted records is something that we're focusing on.
Let's talk about compliance and fulfillment. I guess compliance means if you say no, you've complied with the FOIA law. But what are the trends recently in how agencies are able to close out the FOIA requests that they have?
Well, the release, what we call the release rate, which is the for when records are located in response to requests and processed for disclosure. For the past 7 years, the release rate for those processed records has been over 91%. So that means that 91% of the requests where there are records that are processed, the records are either released in full or in part to the requester. and it's only 7% of requests where all the records are denied. So I will always find that to be a really incredibly significant fact, and I think sometimes people don't realize the tremendous amount of material that is made available in response to FOIA requests. And what's also, I think, very interesting is that year after year, the most commonly used exemption, the most commonly used reason to protect information from disclosure is personal privacy. And I think everyone understands the need to protect personal privacy and the obligation, really, of the government to be sure that it is protecting the privacy of individuals who are mentioned in government files.
So you're saying then basically that the fulfillment rate is pretty good. What about the backlogs? What's happening with those?
Now, the backlogs in fiscal year 15, which again is where we have our last statistics, the backlogs actually decreased quite significantly across the government. And we had a majority of agencies with a backlog of 100 requests or less. So that was a particularly good good year in terms of backlogs. Backlogs, though, are a perennial problem for many agencies, and obviously particularly the agencies that get hundreds or tens of thousands of requests each year, the larger agencies in particular. Managing their backlogs is an ongoing challenge. And while agencies are constantly looking for ways to help reduce backlogs and improve timeliness, I mean, there's no doubt it's a challenge. And we certainly, it's an area that my office continually focuses on with agencies. We try to help agencies. For example, we have best practices seminars. We've had two of them now that have been devoted to this topic of backlog reduction, so that agencies that have had success with backlog reduction can share their strategies and approaches with other agencies to help everyone be able to try to leverage those strategies in their own agency. So I always feel that backlog reduction and improvement in timeliness is something that we always, as a government, can work to improve, and it's something that you have to constantly monitor.
What have you seen in terms of new technologies that might help agencies automate to the extent they can and help them speed up that fulfillment?
Right. Technology, of course, is just so incredibly important to FOIA administration. And we've really long advocated the use of tools, technology tools, to assist agencies in all the core elements of FOIA processing, searching for records, deduplicating records. As you can imagine, you know, with the explosion of email records in agencies, when agencies conduct searches for records, it's not unusual to have, you know, hundreds or thousands of emails, so many of which are duplicative or strings or chains, and all of that needs to be deduplicated and organized and tagged in order to be prepared for processing under FOIA. And substituting technology for manual approaches to deduplicating and searching emails obviously is a huge step forward in efficiency. But going forward, we have to do even more in terms of looking at technology. And agencies are customizing their IT to meet their records, to try to integrate FOIA more directly into their record-keeping systems. And so those are important steps forward as well. We ask agencies every year in their chief FOIA officer reports to give us information about their use of technology. We also have an IT working group that we convene each year, and we're going to be doing that again this upcoming year, because just like with backlog reduction, use of technology is something that there are agencies that are real innovators and have ideas and solutions that can be translated to other agencies, or maybe would spur innovation in another agency. So we try to make sure that we gather agencies together to talk about technology and FOIA use so that they can help one another.
Melanie, you have been associated with the whole FOIA process now for many years. What keeps you going on this arcane but important part of government?
Yeah, I think I truly love what I do. I'm not afraid to say that, and I find FOIA just incredibly fascinating because it is so important, and because it's such a key part, you know, really of our democratic form of government. And to me, it's very rewarding to see that the public is interested in what the government is doing, and to serve as someone who helps agencies inform the public about the operations and activities of the government. I think it's just a great way that our democracy grows and thrives and encourages engagement. Another one of the really satisfying parts of my job is to help other nations as they are trying to develop their own access to information laws. It's also very rewarding to be able to point to the experience of the United States and help other countries gain the same sort of citizen engagement that we have here in the U.S. By virtue of our FOIA.
Melanie Paste is director of the Office of Information Policy at the Justice Department. We'll post the full interview at federalnewsradio.com/Federal Drive.